This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camellia, Sharmila Gunnison and Sumitra Selvaraj. On the show today, for the past decade, a pair of skeletons were dubbed the lovers of Moderna because they were buried hand in hand. The 6,000-year-old skeletons were thought to be a man and a woman, but now a new technique found that they belong to two men. So, lovers no more?
Justin Trudeau has apologised after an old photograph surfaced showing him wearing brown face or skin darkening makeup. Is Canada's blue-eyed boy in trouble again?
So on that note, we are asking you on Twitter. Justin Trudeau has apologised for wearing brown face at a costume party in 2001. Should public figures continue to be held accountable for mistakes they made in the past and have apologised for? Your answer options are yes, they should, no, we should forgive, or it's not a big deal. So you can take that poll or join the conversation at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 01878988899 or call us at 03773322900.
All that coming your way after This Charming Man by The Smiths.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thanks for sticking around. So a decade ago, researchers found a cemetery containing bones from between the 4th and 6th century AD near Modena in northern Italy. A pair of skeletons that were found in the cemetery were dubbed the lovers of Modena because they were buried hand in hand, therefore assumed to be a romantic couple.
But the state of the remains was so poor that it was actually not possible to determine the sex of the couple, even with genetic analysis techniques. So it was just deduced that they were lovers, since all skeletal pairs studied up to that point had been male-female couples. It just seemed obvious to interpret them as being romantic partners.
However, a group of researchers at the University of Bologna developed a new technique using protein found in tooth enamel, and they discovered that the lovers of Modena were in fact both men. Their findings were published in scientific reports this month, and in particular, the protein Emily is present only in the enamel dental tissue of male individuals, whereas MLX can be found in both sexes. So, you know, clearly after that research, these two skeletons belong to two men.
Mm. And suddenly, of course, people are all hesitant to call the pair lovers. Apparently, the practice of burying couples together wasn't confusing as long as they're a male-female pair. But suddenly, everybody's baffled when they realise that the lovers of Modena were both males. Mm. So The Guardian reported it as a mystery. Other press coverage also seemed reluctant to jump into the conclusion that they could be homosexual lovers. Unlike the way they jumped to the conclusion that they were lovers of Modena when they were first discovered.
Yeah, so this turn of events shed some light into how we, either the media as well as researchers, how we project our own ideas, sometimes flawed assumptions of gender and sexuality. Mm. And we do that in a lot of other fields as well, not just in archaeology and history. For example, the anthropomorphizing of animal behavior in ecology, in ecological studies, right?
So it begs the question, to what extent do current conventions affect what we understand about our past or about how we perceive history? We spoke earlier today to historian Professor Laura Zucconi of Stockton University to get her thoughts.
So before we get to the meat of the story, maybe we can start with the lovers of Modena and how much we know about them and the state of the skeletons when they were first discovered.
Well, I don't know much about the skeletons themselves, because they haven't published much other than the DNA data from the tooth enamel. I can talk about the cemetery a bit and the collection of the skeletons, which tells us something about those two. So the cemetery dates to the 5th or 6th century. There were 13 bodies found in 11 tombs or graves, and the what are dubbed the two lovers is not the only double burial. There's another one in that same cemetery. That other burial, they know of a woman and a child, a fairly older child, not a very small one. And those two were buried at different times in that same grave. What we don't know about the lovers, at least what has not been published, is whether or not those two skeletons were buried at the same time or at different times, like the other double grave. We know in the cemetery there are four of the skeletons have what they call sharp force trauma, meaning they've been hit somewhere like in the head with a sword. And that was actually the previous study published by the same group of scholars prior to this DNA tooth enamel. I was analyzing those sword strikes. They were very expertly done, most likely in a military context in combat. But again, the majority of the skeletons don't show that trauma. So we don't know if the two male skeletons were soldiers or not. Because like I said, that same cemetery also has women and children in it, as well as some military. So there's a lot of questions. So we don't know much about those two skeletons. We have to kind of surmise based on the other graves around.
So do we know whether they were intended to be buried in such a position, or is it something that over the course of time, you know, human activities and earth movement caused them to be positioned in such a manner?
It seems most likely they were buried in that position intentionally. But again, we don't know if it was a simultaneous burial or if they reopened the grave after one and put the second one in that position intentionally. That can matter as to why they were buried that way. It seems intentional. At least one skeleton is actually facing the other one. Besides the holding hands, one is facing the other one. That does seem intentional. The other skeleton, its head seems to have fallen away a little bit. It's facing outwards. That may have been accidental. That skeleton may have been placed with its head in a different orientation, but slightly moved out of place.
Was it common practice for two people to be buried in that manner?
No, actually, this is something you would call an irregular burial. From what we can tell from most graves of that time period, and if it is Gothic, usually you have single burials. So anytime you get a double burial, it's somewhat unusual. And it's hard for us to tell why. Certain irregular burials, we understand it has something to do with fearing something from the dead. Usually those are bodies that the head had been removed and placed somewhere else, like down at the feet or in a completely different grave. When you see two bodies placed together, it could be any variety of reasons why. Usually it shows some sort of relationship between the two, but it's sometimes very difficult to tell if there's not a lot of grave goods or there's no inscription or anything else. So as the story said, these may have been lovers. That could have very possibly have been siblings, maybe even twins, or just two people that worked together very closely and had a certain kind of bond, not necessarily a sexual one, but some sort of very close bond that they were noted for. It could have been something happened where they died together and whoever was burying them felt they must stay together because of the way they died. So it could be any range of reasons. We're just not very clear on it.
I kind of want to dig deeper into that. When the skeletons were discovered in 2009, they were immediately dubbed the Lovers of Modena. And then 10 years later, this year, they turn out to be male skeletons, and their burial, hand in hand, is suddenly a mystery. So we have been presumptuous since 2009, or even before that, about their gender and the nature of their relationship. Why can't we be presumptuous about their sexuality?
It's interesting. I went back and read the preliminary report, which came out in 2015 for the entire cemetery site. Mm. And in that preliminary report, nothing was mentioned about them being lovers or anything like that. That seems to have been something that the press dubbed them. Now, I don't know if that originated with the journalists or sometimes archaeologists themselves in order to get funding and try to sell a story. May sort of give that kind of impression. I have no idea where that phrase came from, if it came from the archaeologists, if it came from later reporters talking about it. So it is problematic. And there have been cases of archaeologists doing that. They'll dub things a certain way in order to make it sellable because they're looking for some sort of backing in some way. So they want to generate a buzz. There is a lot of presumption, even if they're not purposely trying to sell anything. We do sort of interpret things based on kind of our common knowledge. So when you see two people together, you automatically assume, oh, it must be a couple, and therefore it must be male and female. And given the area that the site is in, Modena is northern Italy, which used to be an Etruscan stronghold before the Romans took it over. And Etruscan burials very much would have, if not a male and female buried together, the grave marker would be a statue of a male and female together, even though there might be distinct graves nearby. So there is that sort of tradition of marking things that way. Now, this is, you know, 1,000 years after the Etruscans that this burial is taking place. So it's not necessarily that's what the Goths were doing. In fact, it's probably unlikely the Goths were imitating an Etruscan burial practice. But the archaeologists and the researchers, because they're in that area, jump to that because it's something they know strongly about the Etruscans. And so they're just making assumptions. That might be where this lover's notion had started.
In the 2019 original paper, the researchers stated that we cannot exclude that these two individuals were actually in love, but they also mentioned that this type of relationship was considered unlikely because of the cultural norms of that time and place. Could you give us some context about the social norms of that time and place?
That's somewhat problematic. We don't know much about the social norms for Gothic people living in northern Italy at that time. When the article came out about the DNA and the teeth, they referenced that it was not the social norm to have two males that would have possibly been lovers buried together, that the Christian religion at the time and the laws based on that Christian religion would have just basically not made that possible. The problem is those laws and that Christian bent into those laws was more something enforced amongst the upper class and more towards Eastern Mediterranean. That paper actually cited a book by Kyle Harper called From Shame to Sin, The Christian Transformation of Sexual Morality in Late Antiquity. And in that book, Harper makes it very clear that he's studying the upper class and he's focusing on the 6th century, particularly as we move through the 6th century. And these skeletons, they could possibly be from the 5th century, before that change happened, that the researchers are referencing, according to Harper. The other problem, the skeletons show wear on their bodies as if they are used to extreme heavy labor, as well as doing very heavy farm work in the area. So these skeletons are most likely of a lower class, and the lower classes would not have been subject as strongly to those prohibitions against sexuality, especially homosexuality. So although they cited this work, the actual data in that work about sexual morality doesn't necessarily apply to this population that the cemetery is from. What we know of Gothic sexual morality is almost nothing.
I want to reference a conversation we've had on this story. When it comes to offering a reliable perspective on the stories behind these skeletons, historians are perhaps better than archaeologists. What would make that distinction between the historian and the archaeologist when they look at this set of skeletons?
The archaeologist is really trying to look at scientific data. So the archaeologist working on this really are looking at the osteoarchaeology. What can they tell directly from the bones? They're looking at, in this case, essentially, it's like biochemistry that they're looking at. They don't spend that much time looking at the historical context. So the differences between the Goths and the Italo-Romans, what exactly is that political and economic divide going on between East and West, upper, lower classes? The biggest work out there, and Kyle Harper's book really is kind of the big hot work on Roman sexuality in the last 5-6 years. So they just kind of grab that and they apply it. When they make those assertions, it's a very brief paragraph towards the end, and it's not the main thrust of the archaeologist's article. It really is this DNA analysis work. I mean, that's revolutionary in archaeology because it's more cheaply done than other types of DNA analysis and can be done on bones that are really degraded. The cemetery was flooded, so most other ways we would get any kind of DNA analysis have been eradicated by that waterlogged situation. So they're not really concerned about what was the social relationship between the two skeletons, and that comes out in the actual archaeology report. So they just kind of throw these things towards the end as possibilities. The historian comes in usually afterwards, and we look at that and go, well, wait a minute, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. And then we start really investigating all the surrounding archaeology, not just the cemetery, but other ones, similar burials. Is this an irregular burial? That type of thing. We start to look at what kind of texts in the area speak to this population. Either that population directly can find any texts that talk about the Gothic population in Modena, or, you know, what's going on in northern Italy. And like I said, we can bring it as far as what's going on with Justinian, who's actually, you know, sitting in Constantinople off to the east. So we try to give a much wider context and look at all possible variables, where the archaeologist really doesn't. He just throws out some possibilities and is much more tied to the physical science of it.
And that was historian Professor Laura Zucconi sharing her thoughts about the recent gender reveal of the lovers of Modena. So there's a lot that we can talk about this, but I want to focus on how we read into things, what we want to see, rather than what might be the actual case.
I think there's a lot, right? One is this idea of this heteronormative idea of gender. The other is also just the romanticizing of,
yes,
you know, even if they were the same gender, did they have to be lovers? Even if they were male, female, did they have to be lovers? So there's a lot of this projection of ideas of what we think something should be, that all of this throws into sort of sharp relief.
Yeah. And I mean, on the flip side, I was looking at other media outlets and how they report on this story. And the more queer-leaning, queer-friendly media outlets were pointing out that the Guardian article failed to mention that in the original paper that was published this month. The researchers actually stated that we cannot exclude that these two individuals were actually lovers, but they also noted that this type of relationship was considered unlikely. So, in a way, the queer-friendly outlets also have this somewhat of a biased slant towards wanting to simplify this new discovery as they're gay, when there's just so many possibilities. They could be not gay. It's complex. And as we've heard from the interview earlier, we probably would never know.
And people just see what they want to see.
Yeah. I mean, we see... Okay, this Western-centric heteronormativity, right, is something that I suppose for us here, we've kind of adopted it as being the norm.
Well, here as in maybe Malaysia, certainly not in South Asia.
So that was one of the first things that came to mind when I read this story, that in many cultures around the world, South Asia, Middle East, it's not unusual or uncommon for men to hold hands, for instance, or to walk around with their arms around each other.
Yeah, all it takes is for you to go to Juhu Beach in Bombay on an evening. There are men who are friends, who are platonic friends, who are sitting very, very close to next to each other. And the idea of physical intimacy equating with romantic love isn't there.
So I think, so there are cultures where we don't know about. And these are cultures that existed thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, may operate completely differently from how we view physical closeness, intimacy, friendship. And so it is a sort of, it shows our own biases as well, right?
Absolutely.
What we immediately leap to thinking rather than viewing it through a truly neutral lens, if there even really is such a thing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible to ever have a truly neutral, a bifocal neutral lens, maybe half and half.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let us know, what can we take away from this story? You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can call us 7733-2900. So from one oopsie to another, Justin Trudeau's oopsie is next. That's after I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. Or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.